Let's see. Oh, look at this.
At 6:31, I'm going to call the meeting to order. We have a quorum present. We will wait for Legislator Donaldson for all of the controversial items, I think, and we can move through our special meeting to begin with. So this is a special meeting to discuss resolution number 155, setting a proposed setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 13, establishing the Ulster County Electrical Licensing Board and providing for the qualifications, examination, licensing regulations of electricians in Ulster County.
So moved.
Moved by Legislator Maloney.
Second that.
Seconded for discussion by Legislator Haynes.
Okay, very good.
On the, you know, discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair?
Please.
Okay, thank you. So, you know, this meeting was called basically, I think, to kind of just get at least a sense of either members of the public or legislators who may have actually had some questions about the law or possible amendments. I believe Mr. Sam Prado from IDEW Local 363 submitted some comments that I believe, Jay, we have in the packet or not?
Attached to the agenda
attached
for the
agenda.
Special meeting.
Sorry.
Where is that agenda?
And there it is. So, obviously, these are things that we'll probably want to go and take into consideration.
Thank you.
I read it already, but I'd like to see it.
I was going to say, I sent you the email.
Yes, I've read it. All thank
right.
you.
So those may be items that we may want to take into consideration. You know, look, just to be clear, because I've had conversations with a few people here and there, this isn't to make money. I don't care, you know, so long as we break even, you know, I'm fine. The biggest issue for me is making sure that we get electricians licensed. I am also in favor of reciprocity. Orange County has a electrician law. Sullivan County has an electrician law. Green County has an electrician law. And Sullivan and Green have reciprocity with each other and in addition, they also have reciprocity with
Kingston here on time.
And the Village of Sawgrass.
I know.
Mr. Chair?
I couldn't get in there on time. It was somebody with the traffic circle there.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was.
The throughway's closed downtown.
You didn't miss anything. So we were just literally just starting the meeting.
Are you telling me when you're talking I'm not Hey, watch those fingers.
David.
I couldn't resist.
Okay. So we are open, I think, to two amendments to this document. Again, our neighboring counties have similar legislation. Orange, Sullivan, and Green. Green and Sullivan have reciprocity with each other, and they also have reciprocity with the City of Kingston and the Village of Saugerties. So we can build, I think that's actually already in here, but if we need to make it clearer, we can. With regards to fees, I had mentioned before that we were not looking to make money off of this. I don't care what the amount is, so long as we're not losing money as a county. So we could set the fee to whatever it costs. That's fine by me, or a dollar more. So that's it.
Remind me what the fees are that are in here.
Chris, you have it there.
It looks like
half an arm and quarter of a leg.
The initial fee is $500, I believe, and then annual fee. Of $200 there.
Now, what is it other places?
Well, this was actually borrowed from Orange County, so that's what I'm
exactly
saying. Like, we're open to changing the amounts if that's what's needed, so that's why I brought it up.
What would be needed to make this qualify for reciprocity with Green and Sullivan, our closest counties?
I think it probably basically involves like calling them up just to ensure that we're getting reciprocity from them and that we're doing it with them. So.
And do you know if we're comparable with their fee schedules or theirs the same as ours?
You know, I actually pulled this up earlier. I believe so, but I'd have to go and double check it. I actually pulled this up and emailed it off to folks earlier.
It seems like that would make it highly desirable.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
I mean, you know, I think that I would be more in favor of a broader reciprocity, not necessarily tying it to one law or a neighboring county's law, but make it some sort of a comparable, you know, reciprocity with it, you know, with a comparable standard. So, you know, like as good or better,
kind of standard.
I'm assuming they do that. It's already going to be like this. I'm sorry.
No. I was about to ask the chairman when you say that, what do you mean? Do you mind clarifying a little bit?
Yeah, to give you an example, so if we make ourselves reciprocal with Sullivan County and Orange County and Dutchess County and Greene County, let's just say they all have it. Rockland County has a stricter standard than us, but people with a Rockland County license wouldn't necessarily have reciprocity with Ulster County because we're specifically laying out, areas where you'd have reciprocity with. I mean, Rockland County is the gold standard or the worst standard, depending on how you're looking at it, for almost every kind of licensing that there is.
Which is why I probably wouldn't. I mean, like, yes, I get what you're saying in that, yes, in Rockland, you've already gone through more hoops than you ever would with either here.
Correct.
Or Orange or Sullivan, and I get that. I just happen to think that just regionally, when we start talking about our region, you're really, I think you end up being hyper-focused. And I don't know if you're getting that much from Rockland, per se, but, I mean, I'm willing to entertain it.
I mean, I'll say this. I can continue, Mr. Chairman. Right?
Yeah, go ahead. Okay. Go ahead. Jim wants to get in, so if you want to, Jim, do you mind if they go back and forth a little bit?
No, not at all.
Go ahead.
One thing that, just over the next couple of weeks, look at all the contractors' vans, around the county, and you're going to see on most of them a green bumper sticker on the bumper. It's going to say Rockland County General Contractor, Rockland County Electrical Contractor, license number blank. Almost everybody who does work in the Hudson Valley is licensed in Rockland County.
I mean,
just based on seeing the green bumper stickers.
Yeah.
Jim?
Hector, one thing I didn't hear, Orange County is a reciprocal county.
So Orange actually is not reciprocating, at least based off of what I'm seeing. With Sullivan and Green, I do not know. And that's for you to go find out. But they're not.
Sullivan.
Like Sullivan is doing reciprocity with Green. And they're on both counties are doing reciprocity with the city of Kingston and with the village of Sauger.
Right.
I do not know why Orange County is not.
If you want to read them off, you'll read them off while you're going.
Albany, Amsterdam, Kingston, Newburgh, Oneonta, Poughkeepsie, Saugerties, Schenectady, Sullivan County, and
that's Green.
City of Troy. Yeah,
that's the Green counties.
This is Green.
Yeah. So for whatever reason, both Sullivan and Green County's websites, they're not reciprocating with Orange, and I don't know.
But wouldn't we would still have to? They would have to pass a resolution in each one of these areas to for that we reciprocity then, right?
Yeah.
We don't have to request that from them.
Just one thing. I mean, I'm fully supportive of this, and I will support it. But don't you think we should have the spreadsheet put together with the fees, and work out these reciprocities before we move it to this?
Oh, yeah, no. I wasn't planning on this moving forward, by the way. This is partly to kind of get all the issues so that way I can then kind of build up my list. So part of it is I've actually got here in my notes here is actually to create a spreadsheet for fees. So
And reciprocity.
I can do that.
Right. So we would have to, had the legislative office contact the various towns and things like that. I mean, there were cities, the small cities and the counties, for their reciprocity, right? And try to get that in line ahead of time and ask them, look, we're going to be passing this law. We're going to be trying to pass it at such and such a time. And what we could do is maybe the law actually take place 4 months later, and maybe we can get all the reciprocity. So when we actually run it out, mm-hmm. it's got all the reciprocity ready to roll.
As Legislator Rodriguez implied, you can, if you tighten your law somewhat, you can get reciprocity with the folks that are tighter. If you loosen it, then you can get reciprocity with the places that are looser. And sometimes you may not be able to have it on both sides, because for the other municipality to want to have reciprocity, they want their standards, essentially. So there'll be some kind of fitting of what we want to do with where we hope to achieve reciprocity.
Now, this one's based on the Sullivan County?
No, on Orange. So part of I have on here my little list to kind of go and put Sullivan, what Sullivan's doing, what Greene County is doing, what Orange County is doing, and then what this law is doing. It's heavily modeled after Orange because that was the stricter one by comparison.
So I'm surprised that the other ones don't accept them. If it's more stricter, normally you would say, okay, I'll accept the stricter one. I don't want anyone to lose here.
It may be that Orange doesn't want to may not want reciprocity with Sullivan and Greene, because theirs may be slightly easier by comparison. But I'm going to work up an entire sheet, so that way you guys should go and kind of compare. It may be more Orange not wanting to go and lower its standards by then suddenly waiting
If it's a more difficult one, the others should probably give them reciprocity, but the problem is saying, you're right, Orange may not accept it from them.
And so, all right, but that's on my little to-do list.
Okay. Any other on this issue?
Yeah.
Make a motion we postpone it for a month.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That's good. Thank you, Hector. All right, motion to adjourn the special meeting.
So moved.
All righty, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed. Everybody loves to adjourn. They never oppose. Call the meeting to order.
Well,
All right. Attendance wise, Kevin Roberts is absent. I'll be chairing the meeting. IDA is here. John Effner is here, and James Maloney, and the chairman of the legislature, Ken Rock. All right, I'd like to entertain a motion to accept the minutes of the April 16th meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Ready, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Aye.
Do you want me to read it for you? Do you want me to read it? Do you normally read this?
No, I don't care.
You go ahead.
What do we? Where am I? Oh, yeah. Well, actually, you had somebody that wanted to speak on a late. If you don't mind, I'd like to entertain the sheriff's office to discuss the late, so they're not sitting through our entire meeting.
Okay. So, for those who don't know me, I'm Lieutenant Abe Markowitz from the sheriff's office. The sheriff asked me to come tonight and be available for any questions that might be anybody might have had regarding our late proposal to for the county to accept the donation of a recreational vehicle for use by the sheriff's office and other county assets for the for hostage or crisis negotiation team. This vehicle was purchased by way of a donation made directly to the PBA by the Kaplan Foundation in Newburgh. And then we use that money to outfit and make ready the vehicle to turn over to the county. Forgive me, I'm not sure how much information was already provided to you, so I don't want to speak on something you already know about. So
Fill us in. You're fine.
The county has had a crisis negotiation unit for at least probably every bit of 20 years since before I worked here. And in beginning of 17, after my promotion to lieutenant, I took over as the commander of the team. And one of the things I immediately noticed throughout the years moving up in the sheriff's office is it's one of these kinds of deals, just like USER, the SWAT team, so to speak. It's one of these deals where you don't need them that often, but when you do need them, there's a lot of something big is at stake. So I noticed from going to hostage negotiator school several years ago and being in several incidents, and having been on the SWAT team as well, I noticed the negotiators, there was a great disparity between what the rest of the emergency services had available to them in the form of training and equipment and doodads and whatever else, and what the crisis negotiation unit had available. We had no vehicle, we had very little training. It was not acceptable, particularly because, at least in my view, they are equally on par with each other as in the realm of importance in a critical incident. So, and by successfully talking to somebody, we can more than likely avoid all using all the other doodads that, that the, as I call them, the Ninja Turtles have, because they wear green. So, so for a couple, for all, for 17, and I believe in my 18 budget, I said, hey, look, we need a vehicle, and it needs to be a dedicated vehicle outfitted the way it needs to be outfitted for us to do this. And what normally had been done was you'd get somebody's car and you'd do it out of a, and it's just not the right way to do it. It just isn't. And I was, you know, when I got told, hey, you know, okay, we hear you, you know, whatever, you know, this is going to be like, this will become, you know, a capital project. And I've been in the county employed long enough to know what that means, or at least what it seems to mean. And I figured, well, you know, I said to the sheriff, I go, look, you know, we don't need this in 2047. We need this now. So would it be okay, like, what if I get the money? What if it doesn't cost the county, you know, anything? You know, have at it. Okay. So I had some connections with the Kaplan family in Newburgh, and I just basically put the question out to them that, hey, you know, you need some tax deductions for, you know, for 2017, and they said, well, write us a proposal. I wrote a proposal. I don't know if anybody here ever saw it. Wrote a proposal, gave it to them, and then a few weeks later I got a phone call. Yeah, there's a check coming to you for $34,000. Go make it happen. So, okay. So there was some questions. Originally the plan was to just give the money right to the county and then make it a county asset from the beginning and go do what we have to do. And there was some conversations with controller, finance and Bird. There were some potential roadblocks to that. So we said, okay, we'll keep it simple. We'll make it a PBA asset. We'll buy everything we need, do the work we need to do, get it ready. And when it's ready, we'll just turn it over, you know, sort of, if you will, as is, ready to go. We just take our plates off, put the sheriff's plates on, and maybe a couple of little things and, you know, other things to be finished, and then we're off and running, and then we have a right and proper vehicle for this application. So that is ultimately what we did. The vehicle is nearly complete, and we are ready at this point. We are at the point where I have used up my money, and there's just a couple of small things that still need to be paid for. And because we're now looking to use a little bit of county money to pay for those last couple things, obviously we want to make sure it is a county asset so that there is no issue down the road where, hey, why was this money used for something that's not a county asset? So the reason, if anybody was curious, the reason it's going in as a late is quite frankly, is my fault, because I just didn't, I must have had a different date in my head of when the cutoffs were for the deadlines for resolutions and such, because we're at the point now where we are ready to do the last couple of things, and I wanted to get it turned over as a county asset in May as opposed to June.
Any questions?
Needlessly delayed.
Okay, I just have one question. So the vehicle was donated, or you had the vehicle and then you used funding that was donated?
Neither. We had nothing. The money was donated. We purchased the RV from Camping World.
For 34?
No. It was 17. Because mm-hmm. It was the vehicle.
Then all the doodads.
Well, there was a vehicle. I had
the doodads are expensive.
Yeah.
Well, there was a vehicle. There was about...
Because I'm thinking you got yourself a slamming deal.
No. The vehicle was...
So this was an RV that you outfitted to suit your
right.
needs.
Ripped out a bunch of things, okay. Redid a whole bunch of stuff, and right, and okay. Then made it configured properly for
yeah,
use.
Sure.
As a
but that money for the RV came out of the sheriff's budget.
No, sir.
Private donation.
The Kaplan family.
Up to this moment, every penny of that of money that has been spent on that has
right,
been.
But, I mean, the RV, you bought that with donated money, correct?
Correct.
Okay, that's fine.
The RV was new?
It's a used RV.
How used?
2003, 44,000 miles. Everybody that watched that we had, the highway, Tom Horvers and his crew looked at it before we purchased it. They identified a couple of you know, minor to be expected wear and tear, things like that. We paid to have those repaired. They said otherwise it's in great shape. I don't know if anybody's familiar with Joe Steyer. He's from Saugerties. They've been in the auto business for generations. He's one of our deputies part-time as well. He was underneath it on a crawler, said, no, this is, you know, he's an RV guy. He said, no, this is good. So we had those few repairs made. We had we bought another air conditioner for the back, so when we separate the door, you know, we close the door and some other things like that. So I think landed price when I drove it away from Camping World was right around, I have the receipts, it was right around 20, let's say, plus or minus. And then we started making, Joe and I, basically, Joe donated all the labor and the use of his shop in Saugerties, so we drove it up there, and that's where we did all the, I kind of watched, and Joe did all the cutting and hammering and all that stuff, because he knows how to do it, and that, you know, the trips back and forth to Lowe's to get three Wham Jammies and four widgets and the things we needed.
Wham Jammies and the widgets were tragic.
that actually was, those was a lot more money than I expected.
He had to replace the Knudsen valve, too.
Yeah, right.
Any other questions? Go ahead.
Just a quick question. To, you know, get it to where you see as complete, what is your projected budget now just going forward to finish up the job?
The only project, the only tasks remaining are the installation of the radios, lights, and sirens, which will be done by NYCOMCO. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a we already own the lighting. Mm-hmm.
They're just going to do the install?
They are installing the lighting, and they're installing the radios. Which there's really no way around the radios because that's part of the sheriff's contract with NYCOMCO because the rest of the fleet vehicles and so forth. The only other thing is the striping of the vehicle, to stripe it similar to a marked car. Those are the only two expenses remaining. Everything else has been covered by the original $34,000.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, you know, part of my question, and I almost kind of feel like I'm asking a different legislator's question, but it's going to come up, so I'm going to bring it up now. So, you know, right now it says financial impact, none. Clearly, there's something here that we're going to have to pay, and that there's been the issue that's come up previously about the various lighting packages, right? We've had that issue sort of come up previously as to how much does that cost, and more importantly, is it somehow unique as opposed to sort of a standard lighting package for these types of vehicles?
Okay.
In the past, we've actually had conversations about lighting. Legislator Bartels has brought that up, I think, a few times. So that's why I'm just asking it now so we get it out of the way.
Okay, sure. So as far as standard lighting packages, there's no such thing as a standard lighting package for this vehicle because it's a custom vehicle in every sense of the word. As far as lighting, I'm not sure if I was clear.
It's communic radios.
Well,
we own the lights.
We already own the lights.
But the installation of it's going to have to basically be customized. It's a unique vehicle anyway.
Well,
I'm saying,
yes,
what's the cost?
Well, yes and no. So
they just attach it to a bag?
I already met with
the window.
I already met with the
you know, she's going to bring it up.
The manager, I forgot his title, but the manager from NYCOMCO that does the radio and installs the radio installs and the light installs they're custom in the sense of the vehicle they're going on, but they're standard in the sense that you wire this, you know, instead of wiring it 7 feet of wire, you're wiring 20 feet of wire, but the wires still go kind of the same way. So there's no special parts that we already own.
So we don't have like an estimate though on what that's going to cost.
I can give you
a ballpark.
I can give you a ballpark. Please don't hold me to it.
I'm recording all of this.
Okay.
No, I'm joking.
So,
go ahead.
So Lieutenant Soul.
Here we are.
Lieutenant Soul came up with an idea, and I don't know if this is accurate or not, but he came up with a number of around for the installation of the radios, the installation of the lighting and everything, probably right around $3,500 maybe, plus or minus.
But that's the typical cost for any vehicle when you do it.
Maybe $4,000.
This one may be a little slightly higher, right. But it's the typical cost.
Right. It's not dramatically off from, because even though there's more, maybe a little more time to do this one, we are not installing equipment that goes in a regular patrol car, so there's money being saved that way. In other words, like the in-car video system that goes in a patrol car that takes time that's not going anywhere. So there's, you know, in other words, there's money being saved by equipment that doesn't need to go in. And also, our intention was to to utilize some asset forfeiture money to offset, which is an authorized use of asset forfeiture money.
I can hear certain legislators now. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, that was, I mean, that was one thing that was discussed, was to possibly use some asset forfeiture money to offset, offset as a budgetary item, offset it.
Kathy, did you have any questions?
Same question. So the ballpark is probably less than $5,000 to do this install.
I can't see it.
Pretty much, yeah. And I mean, it's going to be not much different than if you put it in a regular car.
$5,000, it's like, okay, you know.
It's the same type of install, and it's when it's going in a vehicle, so it's just a different type style vehicle. So there might be a little bit of customized things, but otherwise,
more wire.
Maybe a little run more of the wire, yeah. Instead of 7 feet, it may be 20 feet of wire, but you know.
Just want to make sure licensed electrician is.
That was my next question, but I was.
All right. Does anybody have any other questions?
Go ahead. I'd like to move this, though.
I was going to say I'd like to move the resolution for discussion.
And I want to thank Lieutenant for the very thorough presentation. Thank you.
So Lieutenant, talk too much.
Yeah, I'd also like to thank Lieutenant Markowitz for, having this vision and then coming up with the funds to be able to do it. I know, you and I have talked about this in the past a couple of times, and I'm really happy to see it come to, see your vision come to life, and I appreciate all your hard work on it.
Thank you.
All righty, so which one are you moving?
Let's let him alone, he moves it. I'll second it.
198?
No, 204.
204 first?
Yeah.
Okay, 204. You moved 204?
Yeah.
And you seconded it?
I seconded 204.
Any conversation on that? Alrighty, all those in favor?
Aye.
Does it have a coffee maker?
It does now.
Okay.
Love it.
Donate.
I'll move 198.
Second. I don't know if they had that. I would have given it today.
Okay, Abe.
Sir.
We're on 198 now. That was the red team reimbursement.
Oh, yes.
Did the sheriff send you information on that?
He mentioned that.
Okay. Yeah. You want to just give us a brief overview of that, or I can give a brief overview if he didn't give you all the info on it.
It's a grant.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it's a grant, but there's a reason it was late. That's
what is the reason?
The reason is because the state every year when we participate in the red team gives us the information on the grant too late for resolution deadline, and if we don't accept it by the end of May, we lose the grant funding. every year.
I remember we did that last year.
Yeah, that's correct.
All right. We move the item 198 was moved by Ralph, seconded by Ebner. Any conversation on it? I mean, none. Entertain. Would we accept that? It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Any none? It passes.
Good evening. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you all for your time.
Lieutenant.
All right, let's get back to the regular meeting. I've taken a couple late out of order. Resolution 27, setting a public hearing, amending the administrative code to clarify the budget modification after adoption. You had, you were going to...
I'll move it.
Okay, moved.
Second.
Seconded. All righty, on the resolution...
As we talked about, Dave, I have an amendment that would add a referendum, would add referendum language to it. It's been discussed previously by council. I believe that that this would curtail the powers of the county executive as they currently sit, so it would be subject to a mandatory referendum. I think that the safest way to do it is to put a mandatory referendum in before we have our public hearing, so when it's adopted, everything's all legal.
And we can work on the referendum itself. We don't have to have that in there at this point, right? The written one?
We have one, in case, if you wanted to add it.
Have you looked at it?
I think it's the same one as previous.
Oh, I was going to say, I've read one at one point. It's been changed.
Shall the amendment to the Ulster County Charter approved as proposed Local Law Number 5 of 2018 prohibiting the transfer of payroll-related expenditures designated for Ulster County employment positions as itemized in the annual budget to other budgetary lines during the course of a year be adopted and become part of the Ulster County Charter?
How is that with you? Do you like that?
Sorry, just 5 seconds, sorry.
Mr. Chair, so should we amend this to read, in order to protect the children and women and taxpayers of Ulster County?
I think so.
You want to make that amendment?
Awful lot of lip coming down from that end of the table tonight, Rodriguez.
I think that might be a good idea.
What do you think about
that? In order to save people lots of money, and, you know, I think we, you know, in order to save money. How about that?
Mr. Chairman, there's no legal objection to it.
All right.
You rewrite it however you want, Dave. Make it as fluffy as you want. You know I'll support it.
All righty. Any other, I'll accept that as a friendly amendment. It's my resolution, and if that's the way we get, bipartisan support, I'll go for it.
I made the amendment.
On the amendment.
It's in your pen.
The amendment was made and seconded. On the amendment, any discussion? Call for vote.
Aye.
Although you have an amendment, okay. On the resolution.
As amended.
Aye.
Everybody's with you? All right, very good. You actually didn't move it, did you? Oh, no, you moved it already.
Yeah, you moved it.
Yeah, that's right, okay.
I'm sorry.
Where are we? Is this one in?
Yes.
No, 26.
So around 78.
Mm-hmm.
78. Making sure I'm on the same page.
You are.
28. Amending the rules of order to permit memorializing resolutions.
I'll move for discussion.
Second.
All righty. On the, go ahead.
You know, we discussed this, I think, at length last month. I really feel like there's room for compromise of some sort. I think that, something along the lines of a petition of discharge where, you need to have 8 sponsors and then maybe one from each side of the aisle, something like that, I think would be a reasonable compromise. I don't support bringing them back as they were originally unfettered. But I think that, in a 12 to 11 body, there has to be some room for compromise. And I think that, it lies somewhere in between what Legislator Rodriguez is looking for, which is to have them back, completely unfettered, and what I was looking for, which was have 2/3 of the legislature sponsor. I lay that on the table as I think that there has to be room for compromise somewhere in the middle.
So thank you, Mr. Chair. I mean, I would of course point out to Chairman Ronk that the sponsors are Mr. Maloney and Mr. Donaldson. But that said,
that's Joseph Maloney.
Mr. Joseph Maloney.
Please make that clear.
Make sure the record acknowledges
it's Joseph Maloney.
Joseph Maloney.
David B. Donaldson.
I apologize. Legislator Donaldson signed on today. But,
before.
I know. The reason I invoked your name, sir, is because you were the most outspoken at the previous Laws and Rules meeting.
And I am often outspoken. That said, while I understand your point, and I don't mind having discussion, and indeed we've actually had discussion several times on this. We had discussion when it was changed the first time. We've now had discussion, I think, at least twice on this, now here in committee. We have before us the resolution. To bring back memorializing resolutions the way it was.
Actually, the way the resolution reads right now, they're still banned.
Well,
throwing that out there.
There's an amendment that is supposed to go to the exact same. Let's not go there.
Wait too much argument from that side.
Let's not go there. You know, look, I'm not going to go and say that it's hard and fast. I think if you speak to each individual legislator, you're probably going to get different answers. I'd also highlight, by the way, I don't know if the legislature is exactly 1211. I suspect it's probably 11111. But that said, while I think there is room to compromise, I think that the spirit of the Democratic caucus is that we've been able to handle this in the past. While I believe there's a disagreement clearly about the nature of memorializing resolutions, you know, we've had this in the past for the past 40 years, right? We've had it since our existence, right? All of a sudden, last year, there was a movement to get rid of them, right? So suddenly we couldn't handle it. Suddenly there was this push of, oh, well, we should be spending more time analyzing the budget or more time working on legislation, right? Well, if you notice, we didn't even hold budget hearings, by and large, in most committees this past go-around in 2017. It is my hope that in 2018, we actually will be holding budget hearings for the individual committees. So clearly, we've been able to do this in the past, and it's not as if somehow, by cutting out memorializing resolutions, that we then suddenly did a better job with all the other stuff that we do.
Go ahead.
Thanks. I just want to make the point that my argument for banning memorializing resolutions in the first place wasn't necessarily because we don't get enough work done. It was because they were being used in an overtly political fashion rather than to be used as a sense of the body or, you know, a statement of the body itself. I don't think that a statement of the body can be done by a defeated vote of 9 to 11 or a passed vote of 12 to 11 or 12 to 10 or anything like that. I think that memorializations in general are designed to be an action of the body speaking with one voice about something and not necessarily a thin majority of the body speaking with one voice about something, and that's why I supported it. After long opposing a ban, that's why I supported the ban, because I saw them being misused.
Okay, but in that vein, though, I mean, it is always the will of the body that we vote by majority vote. Now, if you wanted to go and basically put in memorializings having to go and get a different vote total, then that's a different conversation. However, we run by majority rule, right? And at the end of the day, suddenly we have these resolutions, you know, becoming a problem. Well, they're the voice of the body, right? They're the voice of the body, plain and simple. It's not as if it's not as if somehow we were that people weren't putting in resolutions before this. And it's not as if somehow, you know, we're taking such a large stance on so many diverse issues. Like, that's not happening, Ken.
All right, I think we've had this argument a number of times. And
sure.
We did change, the resolution is changed by the two sponsors, and that's right before you. That is the resolution that we're considering.
Well, it would need to be amended in this committee for it to be in this form.
And you're saying Legislator Joseph Maloney agrees to the change?
This is the change that Legislator Donaldson has proposed. The one that Joe and I put together. The thing is that, I mean, there is I understand where you're coming from, and I understand where Andrew's coming from, but the problem here still is that many times people want this body to stand up and take a stand. Even if it is only 12, 11 to take that stand, they want them to take a stand. Our constituents want that from us at times. I'm not sure, you know, how often that actually happens, and I know very well that they are often used for political purposes and not. But having said that, you know, we are elected officials and we need to take our, you know, you just have to stand up and take a vote. You can't hide from it if somebody's going to bring it up. I know for one, I remember people bringing up the one about a constitutional amendment for burning the flag when there was 33 members here. And I was one out of 33 that voted against that because I thought it was totally wrong. But the point is, people wanted you to take a stand. So, I mean, that's part of the game. But I do also understand that despite what Legislator Rodriguez says, it does take up a lot of time sometimes.
And I mean, I've seen time where it took hours and hours just for a resolution. And, you know, a number of meetings. But I mean, I think you and I had a conversation in reference to the idea of making memorializing resolutions, let it go, memorializing resolution. But what happens is the discussion on the memorializing resolution would be towards the end of the meeting. We kind of finish all the county business, and then you do your consent, non-consent. You go run through those. Once they're done, you then have another public, public hearing, more not a public hearing, but the public gets to speak.
Period of public comment.
But yeah, period of public comment on the memorializing resolutions. And that way, if people really want to take a stand on that, they can take that stand and, you know, and sit through the meeting.
The resolution as it is been circulated, just deleting the prohibition on memorializing resolutions, I support. I think that that change to the rules of orders would be very unpopular with the public. It would put the public comment period at an undetermined time in the course of the meeting, and I think it would be very inconvenient. So I suggest that that's a bad way to proceed. I think that the history of having had memorializing resolutions taken away by the body gives some pause to people who might bring forward memorializing resolutions on a topic that might generate that kind of course of action again.
That's optimistic.
Well, you know, it people have lived without them, and so if we put them back in and they turn out to be a problem, I think that, you know, there's clearly a way to take them away, and that has been demonstrated. So I would support going with a very simple resolution that returns them, and let's see how the body functions.
And I thank you. I apologize. I didn't know if you finished. I'd also highlight that look at the body now, right? We have a ton of new members. You know, it's not as if somehow we don't have turnover in the Ulster County Legislature. So clearly we have a new body. It's a new year, it's a new term, and you have a different set of legislators than what you had in previous years. So, you know, basically having this come back, I think, would be appropriate because you've now got a different set of eyes and a different set of individuals who would be involved in the process. So,
and as a newly elected legislator, I am very cautious of going down that slippery slope of having these memorializing resolutions, you know, ad nauseum, quite honestly. You have survived this long without them. I've seen letters of support, and I can attest to the fact that they are listened to on a higher level, that I can definitely say. And I would be very cautious moving forward without some parameters to mitigate them getting out of control.
I agree with Legislator Rodriguez. There is a new set of legislators. You know, but I'm seeing the same unwillingness to compromise on this issue that I saw on other issues, including memorializing resolutions with the past set of legislators. So I'm a little concerned about that. I know that there's 11 members of the Republican caucus that are willing to compromise on this in some way, shape, or form.
Well, that's interesting. But you're not willing to compromise on many things also.
I'm willing to compromise many things.
I'll have to say, yes, you are, but there's many things that you are not willing to compromise on. So we can't make that, you know, that. I mean, I'm willing to compromise if it fits in my agenda, I guess. Are we all?
Say that again, Dave.
It's in my agenda. I'm willing to compromise, right?
That's what I thought you said.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to explain.
You had different parameters?
I'm trying to explain with Chairman Rock that if it fits in his agenda, he's willing to compromise.
Actually, I tend to disagree with that a little bit, you know.
Right, well.
Especially, I've compromised on things that I've disagreed with in the past, and then voted for it very reluctantly. So I tend to disagree, but that's fine. That's intelligent people can disagree.
We
have an amendment on the table, right? Is it
yes,
made?
We do
no,
have an amendment.
We don't.
I made, well, the amendment is put in. It was an amendment from the sponsors.
It's got to be a motion and a second in committee still.
I move it.
All right, now I'll second the amendment. I think we had discussion on it. All those in favor of the amendment?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, so the amendment failed. And we will pull the resolution and we'll put it in next few month with the same type of thing because.
Okay.
There's no use in running that because otherwise I'm voting on a resolution that did not solve the problem. So it's the same thing. It didn't. Actually, the resolution was just kept things as it was.
What we call a nullity.
Right. So, I mean, I have a couple of choices on this. I mean, I can do a petition to discharge amendment on the floor, or we can just vote and put in another new one. It's exactly like this.
Or just have it withdrawn. Yeah.
If you withdraw it, then it's withdrawn, you have to put it back in and let it perform the law.
Right. That's what I said.
Okay.
That's the one thing you got to do.
It accomplishes the same goal.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So, and I'm sorry, Mark, you were here for a number of lates, weren't you?
Yes.
All right, and I meant to give you an opportunity.
No, that's fine. I didn't speak up either for you.
Here, why don't you sit up there, please?
Mr. Chair, I apologize. Mark, give us 1 second. Legislator Petit has to leave, and Resolution 154, Contractor Licensing Board, which is the general contractor licensing. Legislator Petit, I don't know if you, did you want us to postpone that, or what was your request?
Yeah, there'll be some changes. We've been doing, taking everybody's thoughts into consideration.
Well, it's your choice. Now, you could pull it yourself right now, or we could postpone it, and you could put it in a new way, the way you want it.
Motion to postpone.
Second.
Okay.
And postponement, all those
so
in favor?
With sponsors. Yes.
With consent.
All those in favor of a postponement?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Just opposed?
We're going to do the same thing as reciprocity. The joint county.
However, it may be registration. I put a call into Patrick Long. He is in favor of it. He said when he gets calls from other contractors from other counties, they automatically assume we have something. So, in his words, it's like the Wild Wild West out here.
Put the other one back in the meeting.
That is the new resolution.
Resolution.
All right.
For resolution.
All right.
Not ready to pull it.
All right, thank you. All right, go ahead, Mark. Marky, me boy.
All right, so I am here to discuss resolutions 199 down to 203.
I'll take Ms. Block.
All right, they are all late.
They are all late.
Late, late,
make a motion,
late,
we take them to the block.
We can,
They're all regarding the same.
The legislator Eppner, can you get off his phone? Maybe. What do you think?
I'm fine with blocking them. I'm fine with blocking them.
I hate to give him a hard time.
I didn't even know that was a rule.
Yeah, I didn't know there was a rule at the table.
I left my phone home.
Yes.
My apologies.
These are all for the Restorative Justice Center, right?
Yes. And,
which is in your district, right?
Yes. The legislator Ronk made a motion to block,
The resolutions together.
Him.
I already seconded it.
Yep.
Who was seconded? Okay. So we are now discussing all of them at one point. Right. So why are they all late?
So our bids came in on May 3rd. The resolution deadline was much earlier than that, and Public Works was May 2nd. The reason they came in May 3rd is that we had gone out to bid on these in the previous month. The bids came in, I would say, higher than we had expected and budgeted for and wanted. And after sitting down with our CM and architect, decided that we were going to tweak the specifications and what we required and put it back out to bid. And so we did. And I really couldn't get the bids back in time to meet the regular session. But as it is, this is our our comprehensive plan to follow Raise the Age, which goes into effect October 1st. Our goal for opening this location would be mid-December, with the idea that, you know, as someone goes through Raise the Age, they're not October 1st, they're not going to be knocking on the door of the center. We feel like we will comply with the law and the deadlines as long as we are in there this year. But that gives us about a 210-day window from Tuesday or Wednesday when I can get a notice to proceed out. So that's why it's late and why we're not waiting until June.
And is finance going over this yet?
Yes.
So the consequences would be you would lose a month of construction time.
The consequences for waiting for a month would be, yes, a month of construction time and would delay the opening into 2019, which at that point we will definitely have people from Raise the Age. So once Raise the Age happens October 1st, then you have to commit a crime and be in that age of 17-year-olds, or, yes, 17-year-olds. And so a 17-year-old would have to go out, commit a crime, and go be adjudicated through the system. It is possible if we delay it a month that we miss that.
Any questions?
Just give a little description of the what the monies will purchase for us, what we're getting in terms of construction.
Sure.
And
so
whether or not there's any greening or sustainable features that have been incorporated.
Sure. We are basically taking what was the old Rent-A-Center, and before that a nightclub, actually a car dealership, maybe, I believe it was the Rent-A-Center at one point, right next to the probation.
Yeah.
It's connected to probation.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And we are turning that into both kind of a multi-function public space that is going to have, it's going to be divided, be able to be divided into two rooms or be open for about 95 to 100 people. We're going to have restorative justice circles held in those rooms and various other programs. The community will be able to use the space. On top of that, it's the addition of about 8 probation officers on that side of the building as well that will be added because of Raise the Age.
Who's going to be running the restorative justice program?
Probation.
It's run by probation, and the head of probation runs that.
Nancy Schmidt.
That's under the state statute that was passed.
Right.
Now, isn't there judges that get involved?
Well, because of Raise the Age will now put those children that were possibly criminal liability into family court. So they'll go through family court and then through probation, just like the 14, 15, 16-year-olds do now. Not 16 adults, but 14 and 15-year-olds.
So what do you see as the increase in number as opposed to what they're doing with the 14, 15, 16-year-olds?
The increase in number? Well, because we're adding, like this year we'll be adding 17-year-olds, next year we'll be adding 16-year-olds. Through that program, so the numbers will increase.
You have the reverse, don't you? Have the 16-year-olds first, and then the 17-year-olds.
Sorry, I think.
But you're using a different approach than probation. You're using restorative justice.
Correct.
Which you go and they go
before for those who can. I mean, not every 16 and 17-year-old are going to be able to go down the route of restorative justice, but we're going to try to put as many of the children that can in that.
Preventing the pipeline to prison.
The way
I understand the whole system. I know, it's the same thing what they use for the younger kids with the program that was run through
CCP.
It was run through probation, but they also went through
Family Woodstock.
Family Woodstock, and also the Human Rights Commission was involved in it also. Yeah.
I was just curious.
Water?
Have you guys just reached out to Public Works, especially the chair and vice chair of Public Works? Because that's where this they've been following this project, and also just, I mean, obviously I'm very supportive of the project, but just, you know, the actual nuts and bolts of the actual construction, those kind of things. I'm just curious why it was thought to have a special meeting of Public Works. They had this be vetted, you know, leading up to this month. So even if it was late, I'm just why it would. I mean, I understand why technically it came to us, but is that the best?
We did discuss this briefly at Public Works, and we didn't think to ask for a special meeting.
Okay, that's what I was curious if there was.
It's a reconstruction project. It's not a new site, so it's a rehabilitation of existing space.
So you guys did discuss it.
Yeah, so we knew it would be coming to this committee, and so I think that the feeling was that would
be... Yeah, that's what I was just curious about the history.
You wanted to respond?
When I drafted these resolutions, I looked at your rules to see if I could get Public Works in on it, and from how I understand it, and I'm not an interpreter of your rules, but I believe it can only go to Laws and Rules and Ways and Means, that it can't necessarily go to any of the other committees.
If it's late.
If it's late,
it has to.
Oh. Yeah, okay.
But, you know, as we know, and I wasn't going to get too deep into this, but, you know, last year and previous, you know, we had Public Works, the Department of Public Works basically bypassing the Public Works Committee and going straight to Laws and Rules, and it was a big problem. I know when I spoke to Legislator Green this morning, she had no knowledge of any of this, so meaning clearly if there was discussion, maybe it was not, you know, a lot of discussion about this. So maybe just in the future, we can just shoot an email off to them. I realize for the rules, yes, you're completely right. You've got Laws and Rules, and you've got Ways and Means. Maybe just shooting an email off to them makes it easy.
You know, basically, lates need to be rare. You know, that's why we have our rules set up the way that they do. We don't want lates, and that's why we have it that you have to come here from the lates booth. We certainly don't want someone using that to bypass the committee of jurisdiction.
Yeah. And I don't think that happened in this particular instance. I'm just saying last year we had this going on, and it was crazy.
Yeah, you know, this went out to bid, and that they couldn't go with the bids that they received, so it had to go out again. And there is a hard deadline by when this program needs to be in place.
Well, there's not a hard deadline, actually.
Well, in October, the state has a new way of handling these situations, and we don't have a space to accommodate
that. If it didn't come through tonight, it would go through the following month. They would just be behind in the construction. That's their problem.
Yeah, we wouldn't.
They want to make sure they want to get the construction in through by December, and I certainly understand that. And
I'd like to have the construction done in October.
Yeah, so would I. But I mean, the thing is that at this point, we punch these together, so the entire set has been motioned and seconded. So what we'll do is we've had the discussion on that. We will accept this as the late, I'm assuming, and pass these. So how would you like to vote?
Is this on the lateness, or is this on the resolution?
No, it's on the resolution.
On the resolution.
the group.
I'm good.
I'm good.
I'm
a yay.
Okay. I
work over there today. All in favor, everybody
knows. Okay. All right, great.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Mark. Take care.
Let's get back to the resolutions. On resolution 120, setting a public hearing on reusable bags and regulating the use of carryout bags and recycling paper carryout bags. To be held June 19th, 2018.
Move for discussion.
All right, I'll second that. All right, on the issue, any discussion? Go ahead.
I
have never been in favor of this. I voted against it back in 2008, the last time it was brought up. I'm all for using reusable bags. My wife and I use them, but I think that there's downsides to using reusable bags as well. A lot of the times they get cross-contaminated with meat and vegetables. There's a lot of bacteria that can grow in them if you don't clean them properly, and most people don't clean them properly. And frankly, I find fault with the term single-use bags, because a lot of the plastic bags that I get are reused at least twice, to bring our groceries home and then to dispose of bathroom garbages or other such garbages. I carry my lunch to work in a plastic bag. I think that the intention is noble, but I think that the delivery isn't quite there. So I'll be a no.
I just asked that this be brought to the floor. I think that what we're hearing from the RRA is huge problems and a great deal of problems at recycling and resource handling centers is from bags that are thin bags. You could call them thin bags instead of single-use bags if you wanted, but most of those thin bags are used once or twice, and then they end up at a center where they clog up the works.
Or end up going down the street.
Or they're a hazard in the landscape. So I think that the work on this has been bipartisan. It has been for years. And the result is, I think, really commendable, and I think has support in the legislature. So I'd ask this committee to bring it to the floor and let the legislature vote on it. I think there's nothing wrong with it in terms of its the way it's written and organized.
And this is a public hearing. We're asking the public to weigh in on this.
Go light 6 hours on fire.
It's not a memorializing resolution. It's about what we're doing here in Ulster County.
I mean, I just know the diligence that's gone into this. I commend Legislator Bartels and Legislator Donaldson. This has not, been a new issue in this legislature, obviously, but, in this current form, it's been going on since last term when Legislator Parity, chaired environment, and we had long, extensive discussions. We had experts come in from around the state. And also, I would really encourage legislators to, speak with Mr. Rose and really listen to some of the issues they face at the Resource and Recovery Agency. I think the benefits far outweigh some of the arguments that have been made against it. And, from the research I've done and from the research I've read, even the research that was provided to the Environmental Committee last term, it was research that was funded by the plastic lobby. So I really encourage that we move forward with this and take it to a public hearing.
I will support going to a public hearing, but I just run through my mind my average day when I walk out into the driveway at 6 a.m. and there's three plastic bags sitting in the driveway. Okay, and then I go, you go to the grocery for newspapers, and you go to the grocery store, and everything is in plastic. You go to Sam's Club, I buy 36 rolls of Scott tissue. Do you ever see the plastic that's left when that comes? I just got 70 bags of mulch delivered by Herzog. You want to see what it's wrapped in? About a couple hundred feet of plastic. Well, I think we need to do something, but I think it screams to a larger issue of better management of our solid waste. And that's, I think, before we... I'll support the public hearing, but I get it. But I reuse my plastic bags not more than Ken does. And,
more than...
Should we be looking at, let's say, Maloney's carbon footprint? Or?
Hector, go out and see the pile of garbage in the transfer station every day.
Go ahead.
If I could ask, because Kathy, I know you've put a lot of work into this. I'm trying really hard, but I went to Lowe's right before I came here, and so I did self-checkout. And with that, it's like they can sense that you're putting the stuff in the bag. And then I was like, I'm going to not take a bag. So I took it out of the bag. mm-hmm. put it on the side. Did we take that into consideration, how you would use your own bag during self? Because we've had a big movement since some of these proposals have been adopted with the self-checkouts. Like, will that scan process work?
They'll have to adjust the scan process. That's all.
We're already asking them to adjust. It's the weight
on the one side has to equal the weight on the other side, no matter.
Right, but the weight of a plastic or paper bag is significantly less than the weight of a canvas bag.
I walked out with my four under the counter cabinet lights in my arm with my dimmer switch, and when I got out the door, I dropped them.
So I wasn't at all the meetings, but at the meetings I attended, this particular issue didn't come up. But what has come up is that most of the big chain stores like Walmart's are able to handle this kind of law. They
even
handle it all across
checkout?
The yeah, and my guess is yeah. that you would weigh your stuff maybe even without the bag and then put it in the bag yeah. afterwards might be a solution. So there this type of law has been implemented not only all across New York State but around the country, and it works. So I don't have a specific, mm-hmm. and I didn't hear that discussion.
Mm-hmm.
What this does is this creates the situation where not only does it make the plastic bags illegal, but it would also make charges for a paper bag.
Yeah, I understand.
So it doesn't want to create, you know, turn one pollutant into another. Because so what you're doing is taking the energy to making paper bags. So it's an encouragement of people bringing their bag. Mm-hmm. If you go to Aldi's, I don't know if any of you go to Aldi's. That's one of my favorite places to shop. I go there and often because I will tell you I'm absent-minded and I forget to bring my bags in. So there I grab a box. You know, because they have the boxes there, and I fill up the boxes, and I want to bring the box home, and I recycle the box.
No neighbor.
I will get better at bringing the bags. And that's one of the reasons why I always go to Aldi's, because plus it's a hell of a lot cheaper.
Tie a string on your finger.
What's that?
Tie a string on
your
finger.
Yeah, I know. Then I'll wonder what the hell the string's for. Go ahead.
Can I just ask a quick question? I think that, one of the things that this law is intending to do is to cut down on waste and encourage the three R's, reduce, reuse, and recycle. Paper bags are recyclable. Why are we penalizing people who want to use paper bags?
You're not penalizing.
You are. They're paying 5 cents. It's a penalty.
They do the same thing. If you go to Aldi's, you pay 5-7 cents for your paper bag.
Sounds like a good business model for Aldi's, but it doesn't necessarily mean
that's what you should be doing. That's the European model.
There's two reasons for
a lot of things happen in Europe that don't work here, Dave.
There's two main reasons.
They probably would, though.
For the fee, the first reason is that if you don't impose a fee, many facilities will just slightly increase the weight of their plastic bags above the limit of the law, and so you'll be having a slightly heavier but still not truly reusable, recyclable plastic. And the second is that the paper bags also have a carbon footprint, and the intent of the law really is to move towards people bringing their own bags with them or using something that has a like a box, which
and
has
they do allow you're still allowed to use the little plastic things that are used when you get your fruits and vegetables, or if you get some meat, if you want to wrap it in the
smaller plastic.
Those are exempted.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
you can still use those when you're carrying those items.
So you don't.
I would have only supported if those were banned too. No.
But you're right. But legislator Maloney is right. We have a lot of other places that we need to start looking at.
No, that's true.
No different than throwaway.
Got my dry cleaning too.
The way people buy shampoos and soaps like that. You buy them in these small things. We've got to start thinking about going to the where you buy it in a gallon. You fill it up, and so you're not constantly using that. That's what I attempt to do all the time. I attempt to buy in very large quantities, so I don't use it.
Public hearing, by the way.
On the regulation of the banning of I move it. 120 moved and seconded by myself, and all those in favor for the
public hearing.
Public hearing.
Aye.
Aye.
All righty. Against. All right. Everybody's is very happy about this public hearing. All righty, resolution 154. No, we did that one. We're down to
156.
This is raising the age to 21 for purchasing tobacco products.
Yes. I'll move it for discussion.
Second.
All righty. Discussion?
I, you know, want to make it clear for the record that I'm going to support it to go to the floor for a full vote. You know, laws and rules, as was brought up by Legislator Nolan, we're here to take into account, you know, comments in the public and for legal sufficiency. And, you know, I believe that the law is legally sufficient. I'm not sure how I'm going to vote tomorrow night. I'm still on the fence, but I think it should go to the floor for a vote.
I'll move it.
This moved in second.
I don't know if it's going to solve any problem. With 18, 19, 20-year-olds that want to smoke are going to still smoke. You know, the old argument, I have a real hard time telling, you know, a kid that we just sent overseas to defend us, you can't buy a cigarette.
Oh, you're telling me you can't buy alcohol now.
Well, the duties in government is to protect.
We also don't need to have to tell people how to live either.
Maybe we should appeal the alcohol one then.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just through the chair,
everyone. I know what you're saying.
Through the chair to the sponsor, just really quickly, on the first page in Section 1, the legislative intent, is that an amendment that you've already made, or is it an amendment you're going to make?
Yeah, I had this question, actually.
Sorry,
I appreciate you bringing it up. I'm trying to find it.
It's on page 1 of the...
I haven't been able to find the law in this packet, but the from the comments, one of our data points in the legislative intent was a federal statement statistic, and it was pointed out that the national tobacco use is much higher than our county use, so we would like to amend this so that we're using our county data from a survey that was done in 2016.
Do you have that amendment before you?
And I have the amendment was made at Public Works, and it would just change that language. It wouldn't require a new public hearing.
You mean public health?
Public health. Right.
So it doesn't need to be made, it's already been made.
Right. Mr. Chair, if I may, just for
so
advocacy here.
I don't know what has to be done at this committee.
It's on the first page, and it's changing letter C. Almost one in three high school seniors in Ulster County having report. I'm sorry, in Ulster County report having tried cigarettes. So it's changing from almost one in five to one in three.
Jay said it's already done.
It's already done. It was made in public health.
Okay.
It was made in public health.
And then it doesn't have to come up.
It doesn't have to come up.
No. Thank
you. All right. Very good. All right. On the
10 minutes.
On the resolution, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? I mean, none. Pass.
He's against that. Oh, no, that's the other Maloney.
All right.
Which Maloney now?
Resolution 157. Local law to improve and strengthen the sustainable energy loan program.
Who's writing these titles? Good God. I'll move it for discussion.
Second.
Call it
Dave,
please.
No,
I want to debate this.
Actually, just for the record, I'm going to be a no on this. I was a no when we passed this in the first place. Program's a scam. They haven't done any deals, and quite frankly, puts the taxpayers in a really bad position. So I'll be a no.
You call him a question?
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, I'll call the question. All righty. Are we ready? I'll call the question.
One nay.
Second.
No, we're calling the question.
No,
who's a nay?
Negative.
I'm a no.
No.
What, really?
Yeah.
Excellent.
No, we're supporting.
Oh, supporting. Yeah, of course. 157. You guys are 157.
So it passes.
Who's voting no on it?
The scam alone program.
Yes, and 1, 2, 3 passes.
It's a scam. Puts the taxpayer, theoretically puts the taxpayers on the line. I say theoretically because I'm not sure that this organization has completed a deal yet.
that's why they're trying to make it easier to complete deals.
Yeah, and make it harder for the taxpayers to be able to afford it when we foreclose.
They're not. All right.
Stop. 160.
Yeah. Already 161.
160.
Oh, I'm sorry, 160. I jumped past.
Oh. If you like, Mr. Chair, 160 and 161 could go together if you guys want.
I don't think so.
No. For a vote, no, you can block them together if you want to.
Excuse me. Oh, my God.
I don't have a discussion about whether to block them.
Oh, that's the best.
Come on.
That made my day. Thank you. I'm fine with them being blocked together.
You good?
I'm not even entertaining that motion.
It's not made by a member of the committee.
Then
160 is the amending the term of office. That we said 160 is for.
160 is for
the term
of office.
Yeah, it's
been bad. Term of office. It's a 4-year term, right?
Yes.
I'll move it.
Heavily debated.
160 is a 4-year term for legislators.
Yes.
Public hearing. On the question.
Yes. Call the question.
No, I'm at a little discussion on the question.
I'm just trying to whip for you.
We're going to wait and hear what the public has to say, but I'm not in favor of it.
But they're in support of the hearing.
In support of the hearing. I don't even support a hearing on this one, to be honest with you.
You got to.
I think it's wrong.
It's wrong, but you got to. You got to let the people hear. Let the people speak.
4-1.
Whatever. On the question, all those in favor?
This is for the public hearing.
Public hearing? I'm a no.
So on that logic,
I typically support public hearings, but this one I think it's a waste of time. The public is not going to be supporting it for you. It's really a waste of time. On the next one, the term limits, it's a 12-year term limit for virtually anybody running for office in Ulster County.
Except for the sheriff, the DA, the county clerk, and anybody not employed by the county of Ulster.
Right. Right.
This would apply to the legislature, the executive, and the comptroller.
It's superseded by state law.
Charter offices.
On the other.
Right.
Because the offices are set forth by state law.
Yeah. The other was by set forth by
public law.
So let me get it. The state law does not prohibit the sheriff from running many, many times.
Correct.
Unless the state amends the law.
I'll move it.
All righty.
Never know.
All righty.
Yes.
Aye.
All right.
Aye.
Got it.
I'll be an eye on that, even though I don't support it. I'm like public here.
That's pretty good.
I know that.
I'm glad you came around on day.
10.
I would have asked to speak on it if I'd known you were going to change your position.
Well, no, I mean, I'm probably going to go to a public hearing. I'm not going to support it on the floor. You know, one of them. The other one I just think is monstrous. And that's the 161. Term is this?
I think you're on 195.
Where's 195? Oh, yeah, that's 195. Right. I didn't see that one. Was that the bottom of the thing?
It's the last
195. Amending the rules of order to modify resolution deadline. Talk to me, actor.
So we discussed this in
the office. Somebody want to move it? Discussion?
I move. Good point. Moved by Eppner. Seconded by? I'll second it.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So we discussed this in caucus. We were having problems in terms of getting information about resolutions, whether we know whether or not we're going to be sponsoring or not sponsoring them. I tried working something out with the executive's office. They have yet to call me back with any new proposal. So we are proposing to move resolution deadline by 2 days to allow the clerk to be able to get this information, make her determination about which committee the resolution would go to, and then at that point, before these resolutions go live on Friday, We as legislators could then make a determination whether we're sponsoring something or not. We could then at that point contact deputy county executives so that way we can then get a lay of what each resolution is and then make our determination as to whether we're sponsoring or not.
Thank you, Mayor. Okay. I respect Legislator Rodriguez's intention on this and the intention of the caucus, but unfortunately I think in operation it falls short of what you're looking to do with this. I think that the biggest thing that this does is cause the clerk's office to have to change the entire way they do business on resolution deadline week. It's not going to net you what you want, which is the executive's office to call sponsors and give them information. What this is going to do is it's going to put it in the hands of our staff to go and get this information and then disseminate it to the legislature. So really, by this resolution, you're trying to solve a problem that you have with the executive's office by giving more work to our staff.
Go ahead, Ray. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, this was done with Victoria, by the way, from the clerk's office. And I understand what you're saying. However, I discussed it with her. In fact, she's actually the one who wrote it up.
Because you told her to.
No, but we discussed it ahead of time.
That's all right.
So while I understand what you're saying, Mr. Chairman, part of the issue becomes when we find out or when we're basically being looped in on resolutions. We tried addressing it without having to go to this particular extreme, and it didn't happen, right? And this has been going on. This has been going on for years, right? It used to be, oddly of all things, it'd be legislator Richard Parody's little rallying cry way back when, in terms of like, oh, he suddenly is a sponsor of a resolution when he never sponsored it and suddenly had to vote against it. Clearly we've been having this issue popping up bits and pieces for many years. And I think it's one of these things where we're trying to get through it, and the best solution that I can see is by us moving resolution deadline, as opposed to the clerk having to go and quote-unquote call each of the deputy chairs. At that point, if we're actually using these tablets, right, as resolutions come in, legislators are then going to be able to go and check within each of those folders as to which resolutions are popping up. Remember, it's the clerk who has to make a determination as to what resolution goes to what committee, right? So even if we were to go and get resolutions, hypothetically speaking, right, even if we were to get draft resolutions from the Office of the Executive, it's not officially what committee that it's going to, because it's the clerk who has to make that determination.
Which was the concern that I brought to the executive when he had proposed his solution, which was when he sends everything to the clerk on the Wednesday of resolution deadline, that he would put it on a OneDrive that would be accessible by the legislature. The problem with that is that what they send us is often riddled with, I don't want to call them mistakes, but it's, inaccuracies, things are in the wrong spot. It's not what legislators are used to seeing as a resolution.
Sure.
I spoke to the clerk today and she told me that she has concerns about this. So not that she's opposed to it, in general, but that there are concerns about the way that this is going to affect the operation of the office. And I would be hesitant for us to move this to the floor, even for a first reading, until I'm comfortable that it's not that this resolution is not solving a problem we have with the executive's office and causing problems for our clerk's office.
I mean, when I'm looking at this, I see where Legislator Rodriguez is coming from, and I also understand your argument. I don't see how this actually solves the problem. Because the problem is about who is sponsoring the resolutions. And I know at one point, Bernardo was the chairman, what happened was I ended up sponsoring virtually every resolution that came through because people were refusing to sponsor. I don't know if you remember this.
I do.
People wanted me to show up at every meeting because he ended up having me sponsor in order to get it to the floor. I think that has a problem in it right there, of course, because then it becomes much more partisan than it needs to be. But on the other hand, making it the moving the resolution deadline, I don't see how that's still solving that particular problem. The problem lies in who is sponsoring. And I think I know what ended up happening is when he put in, for instance, he put Nina Dawson in for, you know, to run the Youth Bureau and human rights. And he put me on as a sponsor and, you know, as one of the sponsors. And, I had no problem with it. So, I mean, actually, I think Jay called me about it before they put it in. They said, look, they want to put this in. Do you have a problem with sponsoring it? No, I know Nina. I have no problem with it. That may be the process that we have to follow. In other words, so the problem is, if in other words, if it's going to go before the committee chairman and the vice chair should have an opportunity from the very beginning to say yes or no. I mean, I don't want to be my name being put on something that I don't want to sponsor.
Yeah.
Do you mind if I go first?
Go ahead.
Because I want to apply partly to you, but also...
But I don't understand how this would solve that problem.
So, because resolutions don't become final or they don't go live until Friday, meaning you'd actually still keep... You'd just be extending out the overall timeline from our end. But David, to your point, and again, you know, you raised a very common sense solution, which we brought up, right? And that didn't work out either. They rejected that solution because... They didn't want to have to go and track people down. Now, while I understand some of that, attitude, unfortunately, it then sort of then creates a different problem, right? They don't want to go and make phone calls to X number of legislators, right? To have to go and call, you know, seven chairmen and seven deputy chairmen, right? They don't want to go and do that. Okay, fine. You know, we had tried to work out one potential solution where resolutions would actually come close of business Monday as a draft, and then legislators could then at that point begin to call the deputy county executives on that Tuesday, and then we would basically still maintain the Wednesday, you know, resolution deadline, and it would be actually on us as chairs and deputy chairs to then contact the administration, not them contacting us.
Yeah, I don't know. So, I mean, every one of the resolutions that come into legislative programs, I get a call from Karen Cornell.
I don't get any phone calls about any of any.
I get a call from Cadell, you know, telling me what the resolution is, and you know, did I have any questions?
So then they're not contacting individuals. I mean, it's then that means that then they're picking and choosing who they're talking to.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not like a favorite son here.
I know that. You must be.
I vote that understatement of the century.
I don't get that communication about any of my resolutions.
Well, the ones that come in, I'm talking about the ones that come into my committee.
Yeah, I'm talking about the ones for economic development. I don't get any phone call in advance about
anything. Deputy Chairman.
Oh, all right. Oh, go ahead, Heidi.
Oh, I don't have questions.
Well, let Kathy ask them.
Oh, all right.
It seems to me like we should have a better resolution, and I think it's strong to say that the court favors this. I think that my conversations indicate the clerk will try to accommodate the legislature to give us what we need. And I'm wondering if maybe we do some more brainstorming about it. It seems perhaps that if we got the names of the resolutions going to the committee chair and deputy chair, that if there was some name of a resolution that raised the flag, maybe then we coordinate with the clerk to see that resolution. The way this is written, I think it's going to cause more work for the clerk's office. And the reason is that the clerk is now going to have to do the phone calls that the executive's office has already indicated would be harmful to them in their workflow. So I think we have some work that doesn't yet have a place, and I'd rather get the work down than just by fiat giving it to the clerk's office. They will do it if we pass it, and they'll figure out how to make it work. But it just still seems to me it's going to be a lot of the clerks having to chase down legislators to succeed with this.
Thanks, Dave. Just so everyone is aware, you know, of the temporary resolution that was reached is, as a courtesy, I am sponsoring all resolutions that come from the executive's office on Friday, so nobody has to feel uncomfortable about being on something that they'd be uncomfortable being on. And then when resolutions are disseminated on Friday, legislators have the opportunity to sign on rather than have to ask for their name to be taken off. That's how they do it in Suffolk County.
I don't think that's a good solution either, to be honest.
Well, for a temporary solution, it was the best.
I really don't think, despite what is being said, I really don't think it's a big burden for them to make a phone call.
I don't think any of us think that there's a big burden for them to make a phone call. They're just not willing to do it.
You need to be willing to stand up and say you are not going to sponsor him. He's got to start making a phone call. Somebody in there, I mean, like I said, Ken Cornell calls me for the resolutions that come before him because he probably knows that I might throw it out. I don't know. But he does call me. And he, explains what the resolution is, and I'm, if there's any questions on it, I may ask him a few questions. If I'm comfortable, I'm fine. We move on. But
on the committees on which I serve, and the one that I'm on deputy on, I'm in conversation with the departments and the administration on those resolutions and what is coming down the pike. And I think that that is the situation that we should strive for all these committees. I have asked the clerk to put me on all the resolutions from public health as a baseline. And I guess I feel like if somebody is not getting that, then that's fine for them not to have their names on, and then that gets worked out. But this is changing the rules for everybody when not everybody has a problem.
Yeah, but if we're trying to create equity within the system, clearly if they're communicating with certain people over others in terms of being able to get that information before we actually get to committee, then that is a problem, right? Meaning if they're picking and choosing who their favorite children are, then I guess that's a different problem than that we have.
Can
right?
I clarify the record? I go to these departments with my issues, and I go to the executive's office to get this information. There's no picking and choosing of somebody coming to me.
We can't go to departments, though. We're supposed to be going to a deputy county
Do
executive.
You get called on the resolutions that I go before?
Every resolution, no.
Some things are generic.
Absolutely.
But you don't. Chairman, not a deputy.
Yes. I don't know if they call that.
No. But
so you put your name on it, on the resolution.
It comes to the committee. Yeah, it comes to the economic.
And
committee.
All your name goes
My
on.
My name goes on. Hector's name and the rest of the committee.
Not anymore.
No. Well, it is. Before it was always sponsored by the chairman and the deputy chairman.
That was the last agreement that we came to. Was it was sponsored by the chairman and deputy chairman of the committee, unless they wanted their name taken.
But there's holes in that because of if you're not communicating what it is, people may not like that. So,
I'm not comfortable. I'm not comfortable voting on this tonight without solid knowledge of how the clerk feels about it. So I'll either vote no or vote to postpone.
And
it, whatever
I was going to go and suggest to go and postpone. That's like, if I had my hand up.
All right. Well, if the sponsor wants us to postpone it,
make
a motion to postpone it.
Aye.
All right.
Aye.
All those in favor, aye. Postpone.
Motion to adjourn.
Sharing the love, Dave. Dave will stay here all night now. The sun's out. The sun's down. No more golf.
Sun's down. All right.
All
those in favor of adjournment? Aye, 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 aye. Adjourn.